This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 25th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the last in our four-part series on water in East Central Illinois. This time, engineer guy Bill Hammack will talk about how responsibly we're using it. We'll also check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Champaign Unit 4 teachers have a new tentative contract to consider. Negotiators for the school district and the teachers union reached a tentative agreement last night, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Negotiators arriving at the Mellon Administrative Building for last night's bargaining session were greeted by approximately 200 members of the Champaign Federation of Teachers, who made their wishes clear.
What do we want? Contract! When do we want it? Now! What do we want? Contract! When do we want it? Now!
Now turned out to be less than 5 hours later, when both sides announced a tentative contract agreement. Unit 4 School Board President Dave Tomlinson said the negotiations went smoothly.
All in all, I think it was a very amenable atmosphere, and I really believe that both sides wanted to work together to get the best agreement they could.
John Nadler of the Illinois Federation of Teachers agreed, although he said the process had been a lengthy one. Late last month, a federal mediator was called in to help move talks along. Last night's bargaining session was the third meeting to use the mediator. Details of the new contract are not being released until teachers have a chance to consider it at a meeting to be held sometime in the next 2 weeks. The Champaign School Board is expected to vote on the contract October 13th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Chicago Mayor Richard Daley is urging State Senator James Meeks not to bring his protest against the disparity in funding of rich and poor public school districts to the streets outside Wrigley Field. Meeks, who led a two-day boycott of Chicago public schools to highlight the funding disparity, is promising to have 6,000 protesters ringing Wrigley Field during next week's opening playoff game. Daley, who happens to be a diehard White Sox fan, says the city has waited a long time for the Cubs to become good enough to contend for a spot in the World Series. He says Meeks shouldn't disturb the team. Meeks cut short his week-long opening week boycott of Chicago public schools after 2 days to get a meeting with Governor Rob Blagojevich on the subject, but he says he's not about to call off the Wrigley protest. Meeks said he's surprised Daley would put more emphasis on a game than on people's lives. Many Ameren customers will again have to pay more for electricity as well as for natural gas starting October 1st. It's a decision that's led to one lawmaker to call for the dismantling of the Illinois Commerce Commission. Amanda Vinicky has more.
About a year after an electric rate crisis resulted in Ameren customers getting refunds, those customers will see their bills again rise. The Illinois Commerce Commission has voted to let Ameren charge about $160 million more to deliver gas and electricity. Ameren's Craig Nelson says Silco customers will actually pay less for power, CIPS will charge a slight increase, and Illinois Power customers will pay about 8% more.
What we've asked for is a fair return, a return that's similar to what other utilities earn.
But Democratic Representative John Bradley of Marion says it's just padding for executives and shareholders' pockets.
They said, oh great, our stock is improved at our expense.
Bradley says the Commerce Commission let down consumers struggling in a bad economy. He says he'll file legislation to strip the ICC of its power. The commission's chairman, former Rockford Mayor Charles Bach, says the numbers show the increases are justified. Critics say they're going to appeal the decision. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The new rates take effect next week and will vary depending on where a customer lives. The steepest increase is for Ameren IP customers. Those with Illinois Power will see bills jump as much as $18 a month for electricity, and the approximate additional charge will be $49 for gas. The ICC projects someone living in the Silco territory will actually see a decrease of about 55 cents a month in electricity bills. Gas bills should go down between $4 and $9. The ICC estimates anyone served by CIPS will pay up to about $5 more for electricity and as much as about $6 for gas. Although the Illinois legislature has voted to restore state funding to group homes housing developmentally disabled adults, some say the future of such facilities remain in jeopardy. John Fopp, the executive director of Breeze-based Community Link, which oversees five group homes in southern Illinois, said his organization faces big challenges caused by the state's decision to slow its reimbursement program. Janet Stover of the Illinois Association of Rehabilitation Facilities says when the state dramatically slowed down its reimbursement schedule earlier this year, it forced agencies to take out loans that led to high interest costs. As a result, payrolls are in jeopardy. The legislature's vote to rescind the budget cuts for the developmentally disabled was part of a broader bill that restored $219 million for threatened programs. The bill now awaits the signature of Governor Blagojevich. The University of Illinois plans to restructure its Global Campus Initiative. U of I President Joseph White wants the online learning program to seek its own accreditation. The step would make Global Campus equal to the Chicago, Springfield, and Urbana campuses. White says currently the online learning program depends on other colleges and departments to provide degree courses, but he says they can't offer undergraduate programs for hundreds of future Global Campus students. The chair of the U of I Senate, Nick Brabulis, says the restructuring proposal raises questions of quality.
This issue is certainly one of the issues that the campus senate and the other campus senates are most interested in. When we've had these discussions before, students are among the most outspoken in saying they want to make sure that a global campus degree is not a second-rate degree, that they don't want to see anything dilute the value of the U of I diploma that they've worked so hard for.
Rubulis says once Global Campus gets its accreditation and has to establish a system to check that future programs will provide quality on par with other U of I degrees. He says this also raises questions of additional costs for Global Campus because a bigger administration might be necessary. President White says he'll present his proposal to the Board of Trustees in November. A hearing officer for the Illinois Board of Elections will hear a candidate's counter-complaint against a man who unsuccessfully challenged his place on the ballot. Pat Devaney's challenge to Republican Frank Calabrese's slating was turned down in court and by Champaign County's Electoral Board. He had claimed that county Republicans failed to turn in a document on time when they slated Calabrese to run against incumbent Democratic State Representative Naomi Jacobson. Now Calabrese has filed a complaint claiming Devaney spent too much money on the court case.
We're finding out if they violated any rules in their suit against me by the fact that they did not establish a committee. If you spend more than $3,000 for any political activity in the state of Illinois, you have to establish an official committee.
Neither Devaney nor his attorney Michael Casper have returned calls for comment. Today, a hearing officer will hear the complaint and decide if it should get the attention of the full Board of Elections. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Today, we conclude our four-part look at East Central Illinois' water supply, how we're using it, and how responsibly we're using it. Bill Hammack is WILL's engineer guy, taking complex scientific issues and bringing them home for us. The different ways we use water at home may seem obvious, but Bill finds some ways we may never have suspected.
I want to see how we use water and where it really comes from. To do this, I take a novel and somewhat dangerous approach. It's 6:30 in the morning on a beautiful spring day. I'm going to wake my wife, Amy.
I'm sleeping. Stop it.
She's not a morning person at all, yet I'm going to risk following her today to solve a mystery. Where does 1,800 gallons of water a day go? Listen carefully, because it's hidden throughout her morning routine. It even includes water from China. Of course, there's the standard uses of water for personal hygiene, but pay attention to the next non-obvious water-consuming steps.
What are you wearing today?
Clothes?
Again, not a morning person. She puts on a cotton shirt, pants, and leather shoes, then down to the kitchen to have breakfast and a cup of coffee, which helps socialize her in the morning. Next, she packs a lunch.
Sandwich, roast beef, and an apple.
Then off to class. This mundane routine used nearly 2,000 gallons of water. Let's go over it looking for explicit and hidden uses of water. There's the obvious uses of water. An American uses each day 120 gallons for hygiene, drinking, and cooking.
To conserve this water requires changes in personal behavior and improvements in technology. Derek Winstanley, head of the Illinois State Water Survey, explains the first.
Every time you turn on the faucet, you can make sure you turn it off when you're not actually taking water. You know, if you turn your back to the faucet in the kitchen, turn it off rather than leave it running. You can take somewhat shorter showers. You can use less water irrigating the lawn. You can use less water cleaning your car. So every time you use water, you can, if you're conscientious, you can use somewhat less water.
In addition, a homeowner should fix running toilets, dripping faucets, and use low-flow toilets and shower heads. Still, that 120 gallons a day represents only about 7% of our water consumption of 1,800 gallons. Let's continue looking for that missing 1,600 gallons. To produce that small amount of milk used on my wife's cereal took an astonishing 57 gallons of water. To reach the point where a cow makes 6 ounces of milk requires water for crops, for sustaining the animal, and for cleaning her stall. The same for Amy's cup of coffee. It uses, of course, water from the tap, but making the coffee beans required 40 gallons of water. And the lunch she packed used hundreds of gallons, too.
A sandwich, roast beast, and an apple.
The bread in her sandwich took about 11 gallons per slice, the apple about 19 gallons. Yet not only food, but every manufactured article in our home uses water in its production. This means that, in a sense, much of our water comes from China. Recall the cotton shirt my wife put on, 528 gallons of water to produce. The leather shoes, an astonishing 2,112 gallons. Now, of course, one wears a shirt or shoes many, many times, so we need to take an average. For a U.S. citizen, that amounts to 1,800 gallons a day, of which they consume 120 gallons domestically, and the rest for producing the food and products we use. So, while we must keep an eye on managing domestic supplies like the Mohammed Aquifer, we must also think globally to understand the true economic, social, and environmental costs of water. For AM 580 News, I'm Bill Hammack.
Bill Hammack is a chemical engineering professor at the U of I. You can hear the entire series on our water supply and more of his observations on engineering and life at his website, engineerguy.com. Our forecast today calls for sunny skies, the high 82, clear skies tonight, the low 54. Tomorrow, sunny skies with a high of 85. Clear skies tomorrow evening, the low 55. Sunny Saturday, the high 84. Partly cloudy Saturday evening with a low of 57. Sunday, expect intervals of clouds and sunshine, a slight chance of a passing shower, and the high around 80. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WILL.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.